Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's FM 103.2, available on the web at fm1032.com.au.
What I've been saying over these last few nights was not intended to prove the Christian faith to you. Sure, we've looked at a little of the non-Christian references to Jesus in ancient documents. We've looked at the reliability of the Gospels as historical texts. We've also looked at how compelling is the Christian claim that Jesus rose again from the dead. But whether or not you become a Christian depends not so much on your acceptance of mere facts, but on your willingness to trust your life to the God revealed in Jesus. What I've been trying to do over these last few nights is set out briefly a number of significant lines of verification open to anyone who wants to explore the truthfulness of Christianity. In other words, if you wanted to explore the evidence about Jesus, the stuff we've been talking about this last week is the sort of thing you can expect to find. My central argument over the last few weeks is not that Christianity can be proved and other religions can be disproved. I've tried instead to pick out what seemed to me to be a number of really important realities connected with spirituality in our modern world. Firstly, the incurable religiosity of human cultures throughout time illustrates, I think, the common sense nature of our discussions about God. To ignore these discussions is to stand outside the mainstream of human thought. Talk of God is common sense. It's universal throughout time. Secondly, I've tried to show that the vastly different truth claims of the world's faiths could not possibly be equally true. Perhaps none of them is true. But the proposition that all of them describe one essential reality is just indefensible. The contradictions are too many. Tolerance, rightly understood, must exist among people, but not at the expense of intellectual integrity, not at the expense of ignoring the massive differences between, say, Hinduism and Buddhism, between Islam and Christianity. I've tried, thirdly, to unpack an important distinction between the truth claims found in the majority of the world's religions and the claims found in Christianity. Hinduism, Buddhism, Sikhism, Islam, and so on are based on claims that can't be verified. This doesn't mean that they're necessarily untrue. It simply means that an outside observer isn't able with confidence to test whether or not the claims of, say, Muhammad or Buddha are true. It's a matter of pure faith. As far as I can tell, only two faiths are premised on verifiable claims. Judaism, the forebear of Christianity, grounds itself in events which, with some degree of confidence, can be said to belong to history. Most daring of all, though, is the Christian faith, the faith professed by a third of the world today, 2 billion people. Here, the claims are enormous. God has personally revealed himself, given us a photo, if you like, through the Messiah, Jesus. This man, so the claim goes, is the appointed herald, judge, and saviour, not just of ancient Jews, but of all peoples throughout the world, throughout all of history. God has given proof of this by raising him from the dead. This is a dramatic, public, and verifiable event of ancient history, and one which has shaped the world immeasurably. Over the weeks we've been talking about all this stuff, I've quoted many times from the famous speech of the Apostle Paul in Athens, recorded in Acts chapter 17 of the New Testament. He was talking to an elite council of ancient Greek intellectuals, and he was trying to explain to them the logic of Christianity. He talked about our hunch that there's a God worthy of worship. He talked about the dilemma of trying to know what that God is like when there are so many religious claims out there. And most importantly, he argued that God has ended the need for guessing. God has done something tangible in history, something we can all prod and probe. This is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. When Paul brought his speech to a close, climaxing as it did with the news of Christ's resurrection, the reported reactions were pretty interesting and pretty varied. Let me quote again from the end of Acts chapter 17. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered. But others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." At that, Paul left the council. A few men became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. Well, I suspect a few of my listeners over these last few weeks will have sneered at the news of Jesus' resurrection. This may especially be the case if you've never really looked into the topic at some depth. But since my talks over these last couple of weeks haven't really been designed to prove Christianity to anyone, I wouldn't actually regard a bit of sneering as a failure. The only thing I'd be disappointed about is if you got this far in my series without wanting to know more about Christianity. That would be a failure. Not on your part, but on mine. On the other hand, there may be a few listeners who, like Dionysius and Damaris in the passage I just quoted from Acts 17, find themselves believing in a fresh way. Because I doubt that people come to faith simply through the kind of argumentation presented in these talks, I'd have to put that down to a delightful miracle, as I'm sure the Apostle Paul did when a few of his hearers became believers. If that's you, I'd encourage you to search out a really clear explanation of the Christian faith. I'm sure if you contact 103.2, they'd be more than happy to point you in the right direction. My real hope in this series, though, is that lots of listeners, especially those who wouldn't describe themselves as Christians, will feel the way some in Paul's Athenian audience felt. We are told that some in Paul's audience said this: "We want to hear you again on this subject." I don't just mean, you know, that I hope you'll keep listening in each night, though you're more than welcome to do so. And I certainly don't mean you should go out and buy my books, though I guess you're allowed to do that as well. I just mean I hope that your spiritual hunches will be aroused enough through these talks to find out more about the Christian faith. Get a good Christian book and think long and hard about all this stuff. Alternatively, why don't you surprise a Christian friend by turning up at his or her church, or perhaps just chatting to someone whom you know believes in Jesus? I'm sure you'll find that most Christians are pretty happy to answer any questions about the faith. I can't resist the feeling that if God truly wanted our attention, he wouldn't offer himself to us in a vague, unverifiable manner. He would, I reckon, offer some clarity. He'd provide a signpost for the world, showing us where we can find him. All I'm saying in this series is, please begin, or perhaps continue, your own spiritual search with a closer look at the beautiful, huge signpost, which is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this FM 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit fm1032.com.au.